So our reading tonight is Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts in turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is a man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is a man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown."
This king is forbidden from hotels, banned from public transport, buses, trains, banned from aeroplanes. This king isn't welcome anywhere fancy, but is resigned to the streets. Why? Because this king smells. He stinks of feet. I'm talking about durian. Durian, the king of fruits. I don't know if you've heard of this fruit before. This is a Southeast Asian fruit known for its powerful, pungent odor. It's been described like rotten onions, stinky, sweaty socks. The experience of eating it has been described like eating custard in a grotty public toilet. Got a short little video clip of myself and Sam, who some of you may know, just having a wee taste and describing our experience. It's pretty gross. If you ever get a chance to experience it, do. Get hold of some and see if you can stomach it. It's quite something. Durian, rejected for its powerful stench. Some just don't get it. But, on the other hand, to some it's craved. To some it's this incredible delicacy, and pay actually quite a lot for it. It's adored and even has poems written about it. Wasn't hard to find a little bit of a poem, which I'm going to read to you now, by someone who loves it. Let me read this. Locals adore it for its heavenly smell. Flesh smooth, soft, deliciously creamy. Taste is sharp, sweet, fruit of paradise. Put in one's mouth, swirl tongue slowly. Incomparable feeling, blissful, divine. Salivary glands, taste buds in overdrive. Fruit fit for royalty, love it in superlative. Feelings of ecstasy, without it, can't survive. Durian, fruit of thorns, that's outside. Inside, king of fruits, that can't be denied. Wherever durian is, there's a mixed response. Some get it, some don't. Some fall in love with it, some just can't stand it. Well, in our passage tonight, we see there's also a mixed response to Jesus. Whenever the message of the kingdom is spoken, some hear it and get it. Some hear it but don't. As we consider this together this evening, we'll look at the passage in two sections. The first section, we'll see the mixed response seen in the reason for Jesus speaking in parables. And then in the second section, we'll see the mixed response in the meaning of the parable of the sower. Oh, let me just have a drink. It's not exactly a mouth-watering thing watching that video. So we'll consider it in two sections. In both sections, we'll see that some understand and some don't. And as we think about this, we'll consider where we fit, whether we understand and what this might mean for us. Firstly, though, a little bit of background before the first section. This chapter begins with Jesus surrounded by crowds. Large crowds gathered around to see Jesus. They wanted to see him for the great things that he'd been doing, the miraculous signs, healing the sick, casting out demons. They wanted to see him. People wanted to hear Jesus for the astonishing and amazing things in which he said. People said he taught with authority. They wanted to hear him. So a great following was before Jesus, a great opportunity to teach. But notice what he says. What does he teach them? In verses 3 to 9, Jesus tells the story of a man sowing seed, which falls in different places. Some on good soil, some on soil where it doesn't grow, bad soil. Jesus tells a story, but that's it. Jesus has told a parable, which is a story to illustrate something, but Jesus doesn't give an explanation. And this seems to have surprised the disciples, who then come and ask Jesus this question: why do you speak to the people in parables? This brings us to our first section, where Jesus answers this question, where we see this mixed response to Jesus in the reason for parables. In verse 11, we get Jesus' answer. Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. The reason that Jesus speaks in parables is so that some, like the disciples, may understand. But there are some who will not understand. For them, though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. This is the effect of Jesus' parables. I want to ask, what do you make of that? Some have knowledge, some understand, but some don't. Well, for those of us that say, well, we understand, I want to say, don't be proud. And I think sometimes we can be like, yeah, I get it, I get Jesus, I understand, but it's because I'm clever. It's because of my personal attributes, taking pride in my open-mindedness, pride in how, well, look, I read a lot of Christian books, that's why I know Jesus. I'm clever. Well, no, this is a ridiculous thing. Understanding the message of the kingdom, it's a gift. It's not about cleverness or personal attributes. Jesus said the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you. To be proud would be like to be a kid on his birthday, being given gifts, and then saying, man, I'm good at birthdays. You know, I'm so good at this. Look how all the stuff I've managed to get. I'm like the birthday champion. Just crazy, crazy sort of talk. No. Getting gifts should lead to humility. It should lead to gratefulness. And surely the greater the gift, the greater the humility and gratefulness. And consider the gift that we've been given. God giving his son the gift of Jesus. So for us, let us not be proud, but humble and grateful for the great gift of understanding. Now, the reason Jesus speaks in parables, we've seen that some would understand and some would not, but we also see that it's in fulfillment of prophecy. Look at verse 14 and 15. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You'll be ever hearing but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. In these verses we see fulfillment of prophecy in Isaiah with concealing or hardening for some. For when some hear the message of Jesus, they don't understand. Well, this may lead us to ask, why not? Why is it that some don't understand? Why? Well, I think in these verses, on one hand, we see an inability to understand, but I think also we see an unwillingness. In verse 15, for this people's heart has become calloused. It's a hard heart. They have closed their eyes. There is an unwillingness. But if they would desire to know Jesus, then hope is not withheld. At the end of verse 15, we see that if they would turn, I would heal them. We see if they would hear, understand, turning to Jesus would lead to spiritual healing and restoration. Turn and I would heal. So I want to say, if that is you, if you're thinking, I really don't get this Jesus stuff, but I'd like to know, well then, keep seeking Jesus. Pray, ask God that God would give you understanding, for it is God who reveals. God gives understanding. Keep hearing the words of the Bible, as in them we have the words of life. Now, I'm not sure about you, but sometimes when I see the mixed response to Jesus, the mixed response of some not believing, sometimes it leads me to doubt. Sometimes it makes me lose a bit of confidence. Like, why don't other people love Jesus like I do? Well, I think when we look at these verses, we should have confidence, as the message of Jesus isn't failing. We shouldn't be shocked and worried about the truth of the message of Jesus because some don't believe. This is to be expected. It's what Jesus said would happen. So when you talk to people about Jesus or see the message of Jesus being heard, expect a mixed response, but pray for receptive hearts. Let us have confidence the message of Jesus isn't failing. Some understand and some don't, and that's in fulfillment of prophecy. The hearing of Jesus' teaching in parables conceals understanding for some, but it also is revealing and understanding for others. Now, we didn't read this verse, but look to verse 35, where Matthew narrates in giving some explanation to what's going on with Jesus speaking parables. Verse 35, so was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. Well, to some things are hidden, but to those that understand, to those that come to Jesus to sincerely ask him what he means, well, to them, things hidden since the creation of the world are being revealed. As Jesus said to his disciples in verse 11, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you. What does this mean? What are these secrets and hidden things? This seems to be what Jesus is talking about in verse 16 and 17, where Jesus says to the disciples, "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." These mysteries, these secrets, are God revealing how he would save the world. The prophets and righteous people from long ago, they had longed to know more of God's hidden plans. Those who lived before Jesus knew God had plans to save and rescue humanity. Sin had brought about curse in the world. Adam and Eve had sinned going their own way, and all mankind since doing the same. And there are terrible consequences for that: death, curse, and judgment. However, God in his mercy had revealed throughout the Old Testament glimmers of a plan to save. The Old Testament is full of promise of a Savior who would rescue people from sin. Yet there was some mystery as to what that would be like. How would all that work together? Well, this mystery is revealed for the disciples. For right there in front of them, they have Jesus. Right there as Jesus fulfilled promises, what was once hidden and mysterious was now seen and heard. What a great privilege. What an amazing privilege to have understanding given of how God would save. The prophets, the people of the past, longed to know how that Jesus would be the final sacrifice for sin, that he would suffer and die as prophesied, that he'd be raised back to life as a risen king with an eternal kingdom, reigning forever, that through faith in Jesus we would have his righteousness. This is incredible. I don't know if you consider this and just go, wow, to have that now reveal to us, what a privilege it is. Let us give thanks for the incredible privilege that we have. While the disciples had Jesus right before them, for us, we have the Word of God right before us. Very easy to access for us, where we can go, let me check out what's in the Old Testament, let me see how it's fulfilled in the New. Flipping back and forth. And I think now we've got even more access to it than ever before. With great technology, most of us would be carrying around a copy of the Bible on our phone, even, and just have it with us wherever. We have amazing access. But I think sometimes we get a bit tired of it, don't we? You know, it's just a bit hard, it's a bit tricky, boring. Well, no, we don't mean that when we say that, or think that, but, you know, sometimes we act like it, don't we? Privilege can often lead to ungratefulness, like a spoilt child taking the benefits of all the good things that they have, just taking that for granted. You know, zoning out in the sermon, oh, is it really worth concentrating? It's just a bit hard, really. Bible study after a long day at work, no, the couch looks real good, I think I'll just go for that. Reading my Bible, a game on my phone looks a bit like more fulfilling for me right now. And I'm not trying to say that we need to always be reading the Bible, that we must read it every day, but we do have a great privilege, don't we? And I think we quickly take that for granted. Let us not be those that misuse what we have, but let us hang in there with hearing the word. Look to verse 12, and let us take some encouragement from this. Verse 12. "Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance." If we have understanding, if we know and believe in Jesus, then we'll be given more. More and in abundance. But we can't gain understanding on things we don't engage with, so we need to be reading the word. But let us take great encouragement that it's worthwhile. If we have understanding, more will be given. Take encouragement to hang in there as we find it hard, and we will. Pray, ask God for understanding, and dive deep into the word. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have in abundance. So we've seen the mixed response to Jesus and the reason for speaking in parables, and his reason for that. Some understand and some don't. For those that understand, it's a wonderful privilege that should not be taken for granted. This takes us to our second section, where we see the mixed response to Jesus in the meaning of the parable of the sower. In verse 18, Jesus goes on to explain the meaning of this story, where we've got four soil situations, four different responses to hearing the kingdom of Jesus. Firstly, we've got the seed that falls on the path. Look to verse 19. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. Hard hearts are like a hard path. The message of Jesus just hits it and just bounces off. There's no change. Heart remains heart, and there's no fruit. As we are here tonight, hearing the word, hearing the message of the kingdom, the evil one is right there, looking to snatch away what was sown in the heart. As the message of the kingdom is heard, the evil one is out to distract you from hearing, make you forget, make you feel tired, thinking of other things. I don't know, maybe as you've been hearing this, you've been thinking that that's been you in the past. You've heard a lot about the message of the kingdom, but really doesn't seem to have had much of an effect on you. You've just been like, yeah, whatever, doesn't mean much to me. But maybe as you're thinking about that, maybe now that concerns you. Well, I trust that if it concerns you, if you're bothered by it, I trust that God is working to soften your heart. Pray to him. Ask him to give you understanding to all this talk about Jesus is all about. Secondly, we've got the seed that falls on rocky soil. Verse 20. The seed falling on rocky soil refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. To receive the word with joy, that's a great thing. That should not be knocked, as we've got a message that really should result in joy. A message of forgiveness of sins, a message of peace with God and eternal life. However, here, the heart, like rocky soil, receives the word with joy, but it's all surface and it's no root. Maybe they didn't really understand the message at all, as when troubles of this life come, they fall away. I wonder whether the rocky soil could be illustrated by some of the people that followed after Jesus, as they saw the great benefits that could be had just from watching what goes on, hearing what he has to say. It'd be quite exciting seeing him do amazing things and say amazing stuff. But if you didn't get it, if you didn't get that Jesus was to set up an eternal kingdom, when troubles would come your way, you're not going to hang in there. If you're centered on the immediate benefits of following Jesus, when those benefits don't seem to be around anymore, the word dries up and withers. Problems and troubles will come to us in life. But rather than causing us to be distracted and despairing, let us remember that we have a joy that cannot be taken away, hope of resurrection, of eternal life. The kingdom of heaven is an eternal kingdom. Let us hear the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul from 2 Corinthians, where he says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal weight that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Let us fix our eyes on what is eternal and lasting, and suffering, looking forward to the eternal kingdom where we'll have rest, eternal rest in Jesus. Thirdly, we've got the weedy soil. Look at verse 22. The seed falling among thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke the word, making it unfruitful. Here the word is heard again, but is overwhelmed by the things of here and now. Good things, gifts of God becoming the focus and choking out faith in God. And considering this, I think this could be a more likely scenario maybe for some of us. You know, things are pretty good in New Zealand. We've got a lot of opportunities for things, for good gifts of God. Wealth, great treasures and things, you know, house, having lots of friends and family. Great work. Work hard, play hard, treat yourself. You deserve it. You know, the blessings of God can easily become temptations which choke out faith in God, taking priority over Him. God who gives us the breath of life sidelined to the corner. Gifts of God, overwhelming faith in Him. All the worries of this life, the hurry round, busy, 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 worried about all sorts of things. So they can dominate us. We can focus on looking after our day-to-day cares, but then losing sight of the bigger picture of our eternal destiny. May we be wary of these things. Lastly, we come to the good soil, verse 23. The good soil. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Here we have the good soil. The difference seems simple. Who hears the word and understands it. The result, while the others may show some effects, for this one, the heart that is like good soil receives and understands. It's actually the only one here that understands out of all those soils. This one produces a crop. The word in this person is fruitful, evidence of the word at work in their heart. What does it mean then to produce a crop, to be fruitful? Let's think about that for a moment. In Colossians chapter 1, we read, "So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work." Fruit being good work, following in a manner worthy of the Lord. In Galatians, we're also told of the fruit of the Spirit. These are characteristics of someone that has the Spirit in their heart. This will be what their life looks like. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Here, fruit is evidence of God's work in your life. While we're saved by faith in Jesus, our faith in Him will show in good works, as James said in the book of James. "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save him?" Good fruit will look like walking as Jesus walked, living as He lived, becoming more like Him in how we live our lives, how we treat other people, how we show honor to God, in our desire to know God more. Now for us, we won't all look the same. Notice in the verses here that the crops, the size varies. Some 30, some 60, some 100. As believers in Jesus, we all have different situations. The results are going to be different, as we all have differing gifts and differing opportunities. But while there's difference, there's also sameness. A sameness, the fruit of following and emulating the same Savior, seeking to live like Him. Well, let me ask, does this describe your life? If God was to take a soil sample from your heart, what would He find? If He was to go looking for delicious fruit, would He come to you? Does this describe your life? I'm not talking about a life of perfection, but of fruit, of progress. A life that is changed by knowing Jesus. The message of the kingdom should lead to honoring and obeying the King of the kingdom, that is Jesus. What kind of soil is your heart like? Hard and unreceptive, like the path? rocky, with no room for roots or fruit, overwhelmed by troubles and persecution. Like weedy soil, choking out the word, choked by the good things of this life, deceived into letting the things of here and now take priority? Or are you like the good soil, receiving the good news of Jesus and resulting in fruit, a life radically changed by love for Jesus? Now, while we've seen four different soil types, in reality, they just come down to two categories. There's one that understands, and then you've got three which don't. Is your heart like the good soil? Are you one that understands the message of the kingdom, seen in coming to Jesus for understanding, seen in fruit of living like him? When the message of the kingdom, the good news of Jesus, is taught, there is always a mixed response. And that will be the case even amongst us tonight. I want us to end with an encouraging true story about fruit from good soil in New Zealand. An inspiring story about some kiwi fruit. Octavius Hadfield, from a young age, he'd been told that he was terribly sick. His illness caused him to have to give up on school. It was so sick. Give up on university. His doctors were telling him he'd be unlikely to live much further than his 20s. With hardship like that, you'd expect someone to live quite selfishly, to get their bucket list and just aim for that with everything they've got. Whatever would make them feel good, whatever could extend out their life. But not Octavius. Octavius Hadfield had come to believe in Jesus. The word of Jesus was working in his heart. He read and understand the words of Jesus from Matthew 28, which said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." So in spite of his ill health and low life expectancy, Octavius applied to become a missionary to New Zealand. So he joined the first mission station in the Bay of Islands. Initially, he helped out as a teacher, but then an opportunity arose to go and teach about Jesus in Otaki, as T. Ralpera had come and said, "Come on, come down. We want someone to teach us about Jesus." Again, despite being in pain with his illness, Octavius volunteered to go. And when others tried to tell him, "Look, you're too sick, you can't do it," he said, "I can only die once, and I'd rather die in a Maori pa than in a missionary house." So Octavius went down to Otaki and he taught about Jesus. The fruit of the word in his heart produced much fruit as many heard and believed the good news about Jesus. The gospel bringing peace between warring tribes of the Māori. Later on, Octavius was a strong and outspoken advocate for the Māori people when New Zealand government and settlers ignored the rights of the Māori people and treated them unjustly. Speaking up for what was right caused him to be vilified and hated by government and settlers, considered a traitor. But he held fast to what was right, showing the fruit of God's work in his heart. Octavius Hadfield lived in sickness and pain throughout his life, yet in the end he outlived many of his contemporaries, living to the age of 84. The work of the word at work in Octavius's heart, it was evident of the fruit of his life given to following Jesus no matter what the cost. May we too be those that receive the message of the kingdom, treasuring the privilege of understanding and living fruitful lives that bring honor to Jesus.